hebben zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral een jonge vent uit Australië met een ongelooflijk verhaal. Nick, zonder armen en zonder benen, vertelt een zo ontroerend verhaal dat ik denk u en jij moet blijven kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power. En van harte welkom op deze mooie zondagmorgen. En ik weet zeker dat iedereen geniet. We hebben ook een hele beroemde gast. Ik vertel niet wie het is, maar die komt zo ongeveer 9:55 in beeld. En velen van u en van jullie zullen hem herkennen. Iemand met een geweldige stem. En dominee Schuller spreekt over het 12-stappenplan. Het is de slottoespraak. Een prachtige preek. En zo een geweldige dienst vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. En we gaan naar Anaheim.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Morning, and welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. It is a fabulous service this morning. You're going to be blessed in so many ways. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now to welcome those who are standing around you. Please shake their hands and say, God loves you, and so do I. My father is going to be interviewing the most amazing man you have ever met. His name is Nick Wojcik. He is born without arms or legs, and he is here to share his powerful, faith-filled testimony. We have the Christian R&B artist Anthony Evans singing. We have the renowned classical ensemble Eden String Quartet. Don Newman, of course, is here with the Crystal Cathedral Choir, and Mark Riley is directing the Hour of Power Orchestra, and Sean Groombridge is playing the magnificent Hazel Wright organ. And so this is the day that God has made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're transforming lives, that you're performing miracles, that you're creating healing and hope. And so we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your presence today. So do a miracle in our lives, we pray. Amen.
Oh, The scripture reading is from the Psalms. And this morning we're reading Psalm 47 and 48. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He chose our inheritance for us. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to Him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And how God has worked in your country of China. My. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. You are our God forever and ever. You will be our guide even to the end. Even to the end. Even to the end.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phoebe Pryor. Thank you, Donald Newman. I am constantly amazed at how blessed we are with fabulous music. I don't think there's a finer choir anywhere in the world. And I appreciate it. And now my father is going to interview Nick Wojcik. This will be probably the most inspiring man you'll ever hear. And as a way of introduction, we have a video to share with you. So if you'd please give your attention to the Jumbotron.
My name is Nick Wojcik, and I'm from Australia. And this morning, I want to share with you my testimony as to how God has given me grace, strength, and comfort through my disability, and how you can have victory, peace, and joy in your life, even if circumstances are still present in your life that don't make sense or cause your world to turn upside down.
All God's people said, wow.
Wow. Praise God.
Wow. When we say wow here, it means walking on water. What a life. Yeah, it's great. You are great. In case people aren't aware or didn't catch the message, yes. You were born this way, right?
Correct, yes.
How did it happen? How come you were born without limbs?
Well, I'm 24, and there's actually no medical reason why this had happened. My mum was a nurse, and she knew exactly what to do and what not to do in her first pregnancy. So I'm their firstborn son, and it was such a great tragedy, and we had many questions. They had many questions as parents. I had many questions as a child, but there were no answers. The world cannot tell us why I was born this way, but I now see the glory of God in it. And I just give God all glory and thanks and praise because I am wonderfully and fearfully made. So He has a plan and a hope and future for everybody. And
Wow. Well, how have your parents handled this? I think, of course, when you were born this way, you were not aware of it.
That's right.
But your parents were dramatically aware of it. How did they handle it?
It was, I can't explain in words. They can't even explain in words to me how it felt. They went through many stages of denial and depression, but it was about 4 months of them. They straight away took me home after I was born, raised me up just like any other child, but God's peace guarded their heart after 4 months. And they were able to then trust in God, and it was just such a great shock because there's no trace of any birth defects in either families. I have a brother and a sister born after me, and they have no birth defects. But it's just amazing to see the miracle of God's grace in my parents' life as they raised me up, as they trusted in God in such a stressful and anxious time in their life.
Now you have no arms, no legs, but you have a part of a foot.
I have a little chicken drumstick, you see. This is amazing. It's we call this a chicken drumstick because, first of all, it looks like one, and second of all, sometimes my dog thinks it's one. And he comes up every now and then to start biting on it, and I have to kick him in the head a little bit. But it's amazing. This little thing, I have the ability to type 43 words a minute on a normal computer. By the grace of God, I've accomplished a double degree in accounting and financial planning. I can... Praise God. I've learned how to write, and I can walk around, and I have this wheelchair, and this seat actually goes up and down, so I can be quite independent at home, as you've seen on the video. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you self-employed?
You know what? It's amazing how God has been using me in the last 5 years of my life. I've spoken across 12 nations as a preacher and evangelist. And I've gone across Africa and Southeast Asia. We just came back from India, and we had crowds of 100,000 people. And it's just to see tens of thousands to commit their lives to Jesus Christ is amazing. So basically, I am very excited to say that we have established a nonprofit 501c3 organization called Life Without Limbs, which is an organization that funds all that we do and helps me to go around the world and share basically my story with the world through DVDs. And all information's there. The DVDs there are my whole story. Then my purpose in life is to go out to the world and say, if I can trust in God with my circumstances, then you can trust in God with your circumstances. And we know that God's grace is sufficient. And if he doesn't answer your prayers, just know that he is with you. And that's the message, to fear not, for I am with you. That's what God said. So.
Matthew 19:26 says, "With nothing is impossible with God." But I've never had anybody that can match your power of affirming that Bible verse. Nobody can match you. Nobody else has been through this.
You know what? A lot of people say, Nick, I can never imagine what you've gone through, or you're the most inspirational story, or something like that. And I take that to heart. I praise God for the inspiration that I am to the world. But it's not to say that there's someone else out there going through pain. See, we all are denying ourselves and taking up our cross. We all know how it feels to be lonely or broken. And the thing is this, is I could look at you and I say, you know what, maybe the things that you've gone through are maybe worse than I have. And you're thinking, no, I could never imagine myself without arms and legs. See, we can't and we should not compare sufferings. But this is what we do as a family of God. Come together.
Stop. Repeat that. We should not compare sufferings. That's a great concept. It's a great line.
What we do is we come together as a family of God, hand in hand, holding your hand, metaphorically speaking.
Yes.
Yeah? And then together, coming and standing upon the promises of God, knowing that no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, that God knows it, he's with you, he's going to pull you through. I'm just an empty vessel. That's all I am. It's not about me. It's not about my achievements. It's not about what I can do or what I can't do. But it's who I've become by the power of Jesus Christ. That's the message. Yeah. So.
You're 24 years old.
Correct.
Were there some very, very low times, and how did you get through them?
One of my lowest times I do remember was when I was 8 years old.
Hmm.
I don't know if you know this, but I actually grew up in a Christian home.
Yes.
And 11
months...
Your father
was a pastor.
My father was a pastor.
Still is, maybe.
Still is a pastor. Hmm. Praise God. They actually planted a church 11 months before I was born. And it was very difficult as a pastor's son to go to church at times, not because I'm tired or anything, but it was because I went to Sunday school and learned that Jesus loves me and that I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. But I got angry at God. I said, I don't understand this. And at age 8, I read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I said, "God, what kind of hope and future do I have? I never thought I'd ever get a job. I went to school. A lot of kids teased me. I had a very good couple of friends that helped me through that. And my family, I praise God for the parents and family I have. Without them, I know I wouldn't be here. But God's used them in a powerful way. But let me just say this, that I wanted to end my life. I didn't see a future or hope. I never thought I'd get married. I said, God, even if I ever did get married, I can't even hold my wife's hand. I won't be able to dance with my bride on our wedding night. When we have children, how am I going to put my arms around my kids when they're crying? These things were important to me, and no one could tell me that everything was going to be okay. And even if they did, I can't believe them. There's two things in life that we want to hear as human beings. First of all, that we're loved. Second of all, everything is going to be okay. And the greatest thing that God has given me is His love. To know that He does love me. And when there are things that happen in my life that I don't understand, and in your life, when things happen in your life and you don't understand the purpose, the question is this: is God worthy of your thanks? Is God still worthy of your praises? A lot of people say that verse, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What does that mean? What is your joy? Why can you rejoice always? Because the joy of having Jesus Christ loving you so much that He died for my sin, He's given me salvation. This life here is temporary. But you know what? I love the fact that that is the greatest joy of all. Having Jesus Christ in my life and living the godly purpose He has for me. And I can be thankful. I thank God. I thank God He said no when I asked Him for arms and legs.
Did you?
I did. I pleaded with God. God, give me arms and legs. I cried myself to sleep at night. I was hoping that when I'd wake up in the morning that I'd have arms and legs. I thought it'd be a great miracle. I mean, imagine right now, if God gave me arms and legs, we're on TV. How many people wouldn't believe that miracle? But I stand before you today as a miracle of God. To prove to everybody a pure example of God's grace, love, and perfection. To know that I am the miracle. We are more than conquerors. Circumstances do not have to change for you to become victorious. It's our heart that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Zo'n verhaal kun je eigenlijk niet met droge ogen aankijken. Het verhaal van Nick, ongelooflijk. Ja, ontroerend. En als je zo in het leven staat, wat ben je dan een lichtend voorbeeld voor mensen, dat is ik misschien, die is makkelijk wat klagen over dingen die eigenlijk niet toe doen. Ik ben heel blij met een bijzondere gast vanmorgen. Hij was in Nederland. Dan gaat hij zo meteen zelf even vertellen waarom. En we kennen zijn gezicht vanuit optredens vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. En de mensen die bij de kerstconcerten waren het afgelopen jaar, die hebben hem ook meegemaakt. Het is een geweldig spontane vent en een enorm goede zanger, Daniel Rodriguez. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. You're back in the Netherlands.
Yes, I'm back and I'm very, very happy to be back.
The reason that you're here is that you performed for Netherlands Sings, well-known program with well-known hymns and so on. Was it a highlight?
It was. I was treated with such love and it was great. We had some beautiful music, a wonderful orchestra. Jan Mulder again was playing his beautiful, beautiful piano, and then so many singers that came from Holland, from all over, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful, joyous noise that we made that day unto the Lord.
Can I recall one of the most impressing moments of your life? The moment 9/11, which is engraved in our minds as well, and you were a police officer not far from Ground Zero.
Yes. I was at Ground Zero when the towers came down on September 11th. I was working as a police officer. On my way to work, I could see the first tower burning. And my boss and all of my friends, we cover that area. That's our jurisdiction. And so we went to Ground Zero to help and to see what we can do. By the time I got there, the second tower was already aflame. And I went close to Ground Zero, about one meter away, when the tower came down. And
That's engraved in your mind, I guess.
Yes. I live that every day.
Still.
And I'm grateful every day for having that experience and for being able to use that experience and to be able to use the gift that God gave me of music to help the country at that moment when it needed it most.
Yeah. One of the great moments in your life, I guess, how sad it was, were you performing at a remembrance gathering at Yankee Stadium to remember the 3,000 people that were killed, not only from America, but from worldwide with the towers. What happened?
When I was working at Ground Zero, I knew that there was something more that I had to give. I was already known as the singing policeman. I sang for the police department for many, many years. And no matter how much I did, we were there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There was always something more to give. I knew there was something. And then I got a phone call from the cardinal at the time and asked me to sing at Prayer for America. And Mayor Giuliani also called me and said, you know, we want you there. And I said, I would love to. And that moment, I sang God Bless America, and I realized that all my life, I've been looking for a career. All my life, I've been saying, what am I going to do with this voice? What am I going to do with this gift? You know, I sing every day. When is it going to pay off? And I realized that it wasn't a career. It was a calling. The music was a ministry, and God had saved me all that time until my voice can do the most good for the most people. And that moment, I became America's tenor, and I helped to console the nation.
Daniel, your parents immigrated from Puerto Rico to America with the American dream, I suppose, but you know, they had not a big budget to spend, and they discovered your musical talents. You were performing at Carnegie Hall in New York, the main music hall, when you were 17. But then you quit because you wanted to support financially your family. I think that's impressive to me.
Yes. My mother was a factory worker, and my father worked for the Transit Authority. And they gave us a lot of love, and they gave us everything that we needed to be a loving, caring family. When I was very young, someone discovered, a teacher from Juilliard discovered that I had a good voice. And I started working in the theater. I wasn't a singer right away. I was an actor in the theater in Manhattan. And made my Carnegie Hall debut when I was 17. And later on, when I was about 20 years old, I had to support my family so I couldn't continue my career. And I went out and I supported my family and but music was such a part of my life, I couldn't stay away from it. So 4 years later, I started to sing again. I started to sing for the churches. I started to sing for choirs everywhere. I started my own show. I would hire a piano player, and I would rent a hall, and I would do a show. And it just kept building from there. And the one thing that I have to say, throughout my life, no matter where I went or what I did, there was always someone guiding me. I was the light of Christ. The light of Christ every day guiding my life and telling me that no matter what I did, he had a mission for me. There was something special that I needed to do. And most of the time they say, God is my co-pilot. Well, in my life, God is the pilot. I'm the co-pilot because he knows where I'm going. I don't.
So the pilot with a capital P did bring you to here, to the Netherlands. I have a small dream. Dream your dreams, Dr. Schuller always says. I was dreaming that you would perform in this house and sing a song that that is on your heart.
Well, it would be my honor.
Yeah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
Beautiful, Daniel.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you like that because I have something for you. This is my new album. It's called In the Presence, and it has Amazing Grace on it along with some other beautiful songs that I want you to listen to and enjoy.
It starts with Amazing Grace.
It starts with Amazing Grace.
Then I have a gift for you as well, Daniel.
Oh, cool.
A Place of Beauty and Joy. Did Dr. Schuller give it to you because you sing so often in the Crystal Cathedral?
Oh, no, I hadn't gotten this. This is beautiful.
Oh, I would...
This talks all about the Crystal Cathedral.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll sing there in a few weeks.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Daniel, you're coming back to the Netherlands in December for our Christmas tour.
I'm very excited. Very excited to come back again and to spend more time with my family here in the Netherlands and to sing and to make a joyful noise unto the Lord with these wonderful people. Jan Mulder again is going to be playing, and he is such a great musician. His music is so beautiful. Sometimes I start listening to him and I forget that I have to sing. And we'll have a choir again, and it's just going to be fantastic.
Well, Daniel, thank you very much, and this is your second home from home.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wij gaan, voordat we naar de kerstkathedraal gaan, nog een paar dingen zeggen. Eén, de kerstconcerten waar Daniel het over had, waren geweldig. Veel van u en jullie zijn er het afgelopen jaar geweest. Meer dan 6.000 bezoekers, en vandaar dat we in plaats van 7 concerten hebben. We gaan natuurlijk vertellen waar dat is. We hebben er zelfs 1 vlak over de grens in Duitsland, in de Laurenskerk in Rotterdam, in Noord-Holland. Weer over heel Nederland en het wordt geweldig. En Daniel Rodriguez is nu in Nederland, maar over een maand hoopt dominee Schuller hier te zijn. Anthony Schuller, oftewel de jonge dominee Schuller. We weten dat er grote belangstelling is. Er zijn al heel veel kaarten verkocht en we laten graag weten voor degenen die nog willen komen hoe je dit evenement kunt meemaken.
Power organiseert 3 heel bijzondere diensten met dominee Robert Anthony Schuller. Hij zal spreken tijdens deze live Hour of Power kerkdiensten en u kunt erbij zijn. Beleef een persoonlijke ontmoeting met dominee Schuller en tijdens deze kerkdiensten ontmoet u ook vele andere Hour of Power kijkers. En u kunt genieten van prachtige muziek. Hour of Power Nederland is blij met de komst van pianist en dirigent Jan Mulder. Net als in de uitzendingen zullen een aantal prachtige koorliederen worden gezongen door de Cathedral Singers. Uiteraard is er ook samenzang, verrassende solisten en het Power Quintet. Op zaterdag 28 april zijn er 2 diensten in de Lolaankerk te Apeldoorn. Om 3 uur 's middags en 8 uur 's avonds. Zondag 29 april bent u om 8 uur welkom in de prachtige Pieterskerk in Leiden. U kunt uw toegangskaarten het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl of bel ons om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588. Tevens kunt u hier terecht voor informatie over de opstapplaatsen van ons busvervoer. hopen dominee Schuller samen met u een warm onthaal te geven en met elkaar een gezegende dienst te ervaren. Beleef Hour of Power Live met dominee Schuller en prachtige muziek in eigen land. Een unieke ervaring.
What we've been talking about for the last few weeks is steps to a better you. And it's based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps that have been used in recovery groups, regardless of what the addiction is, for decades. I've been talking about it now, and somebody wrote in and asked me, why don't you give credit to the author of the 12 steps? And the reason I don't give credit to an author of the 12 steps is that all of my best research, I have been unsuccessful in finding an actual author to the 12 steps. Someone had mentioned Bill Wilson as the author, and I don't believe he is, but he might be. And so what I have discovered is that there is a gentleman who is regarded as the leading historian in Alcoholics Anonymous. His name is Dick B. And if you want to study the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, you can go to dickb.com and it can give you some more information. But this is the best summary of who wrote the 12 steps that I'm familiar with. And I'm quoting directly from Dick B. He says, very simply, AA was based on the Bible. Its co-founder, Dr. Bob, said AA took its basic ideas from the study of what he and others called the Good Book. Both Bill W. and Dr. Bob, as co-founders, frequently said that the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, contained the underlying philosophy of AA. Dr. Bob pointed to Jesus' sermon, 1 Corinthians 13, and the book of James as being absolutely essential to the solution of their problems. The Oxford group, of which AA was an integral part in its developing years, espoused principles that it said were the principles of the Bible. Its founder, Dr. Frank Buckman, was said to be soaked in the Bible, and its principal American writer and spokesman on the East Coast, Dr. Samuel Shoemaker Jr., was called a Bible Christian. And both of these men and their ideas impacted directly on AA fellowship, on its big book, on the 12 steps, and on the very language AA uses to this day. And believe it or not, that's the closest I have been able to come to finding an author of the 12 steps. I don't think it's ironic. I think it's prophetic that an organization which is built on anonymity would leave its foundation anonymous, so that no one can take credit for the hand of God. And I believe it was a compilation of men and women who came together, who squeezed out from the scriptures steps that would help us to grow into the people that God wants us to be, overcoming our addictions and overcoming our sin and developing into the humans that espouse the love and the purity and the goodness of God. And so it is, as we look at these last three steps of the 12 steps, that I pray that you will not become a student of the 12 steps, but instead an actor of the 12 steps. When I say an actor, I mean someone who embraces the 12 steps, who lives by the 12 steps, and continues to correct his actions through the 12 steps. The last three steps that have been espoused to us through the scriptures, that give us direction and guidance and fill our heads with the fullness of God's love, are these. It says, I will continue to take personal inventory, and where I find wrong, promptly admit it. That's number 10. Number 11 says, I will seek to know more of God. And number 12 says, I will seek to carry to others the glorious message of the possibility of a spiritual awakening. We start with the first one, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. I want to encourage you to realize that living by the 12 steps, or living the spiritual Christian life, or trying to be a success in life is simply like trying to go from point A to point B. How many people here have ever gotten lost in their cars trying to reach a destination? You made a wrong turn, you missed the off-ramp, you got off too soon, and you didn't go straight to your destination. How many of you, once you realized you made a mistake, simply made a course change and reached your destination? Most of you are going to say most of the time that's what happens, with rare exception. And you don't lose a whole lot of sleep over making a wrong turn, about making a mistake. Instead, you just simply correct it and you say, oh, well, I'm going to be a little later than I expected. And that's it. And that's what the first step is all about, spotting an error and making a correction. And when you go through life and you make a mistake, simply admit, I made a mistake. One of the things I learned from my father is at a very young age where... very simple words. You're right, I'm wrong. They're hard words to say, but if you're ever in a discussion with somebody and you find out that you're on the wrong side of the discussion and you've changed your mind, simply say those words and look at the astonishment in their face. It's amusing. It's fun. When you say, "You're right, I'm wrong." Immediately, the first expression is usually they think they've misunderstood you or you've misspoken. And they start getting upset. They go, "Well, how do you know I'm wrong?" No, I said, "You're right. I'm wrong." And it's a fun lesson to learn, those four words. You're right. I'm wrong. An immediate course correction in the course of a day. Then when you get to the end of your day, I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer and meditation and think about the things that you could have done differently, people you may have harmed or hurt, and pray and make the restitution that's necessary specifically before you put your head on the pillow. Because the Bible is very succinct, and my parents taught it to me very well. It wasn't unusual for me to get in fights with my sisters. I had four of them. And when you live with four sisters, believe it or not, boys and girls, when they're young, are like oil and water. And we would get in arguments. I know that's hard for you to believe, but we would. And my parents would pull us aside, and they would make sure we shook hands and we hugged, and even though we hated to do it at that point, and made up. And then they would quote this verse to us. "Never let the sun set on your wrath." And that's a Bible verse. It's found in Ephesians 4. Never let the sun set on your wrath. You have to resolve it before you go to bed at night. And thirdly, the thing we need to do is periodically we need to take what I call long-term reminders, where once every few months, you get away for a retreat. You get away from the normal routine of your time and your days. And you sit down and you take personal inventory again of what's taking place in your life. Step number 11 says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. What we do in step number 11 is we build a strong foundation. And how do you do that? It starts with prayer and meditation. Continues by reading the Bible. And it's completed by associating with other believers, other people who are going through what you're going through and dealing with what you're dealing with. And finally, step number 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And that's what it's all about, is to teach others and to spread the good news and to spread the word. How many have ever heard this phrase, the best way to learn something is to teach it? A lot of you know it. The best way to learn something is to teach it. And if you really want to experience spiritual growth in your life, you have to give it away. You have to allow other people to embrace it. You have to share it. You have to be used by God and others to make it happen. We're living in a world of tremendous possibilities. We recently had an interesting institute here. It's called Faith Forward. And we had a dinner. And at that dinner, we had Ken Miedema. Some of you are familiar with Ken Miedema. He's a blind songwriter and singer. And it's not uncommon for him to sing here in the cathedral. Also, we had Francis Collins. Some of you may remember him as well. He was the head of the Genome Project. And he mapped out the entire DNA code. And then along with that, we also had Michael Gillen, who is a science editor for several different institutions and a brilliant man. Well, these three, among others, were in this we're having, and I was invited in that dinner as well, and we're enjoying our dinner, and the topic came up about DNA, Francis Collins. And the question was, Francis, what do you see as the future of DNA? He said, you know, there's been some amazing things. He said, we're going to see healthcare take a turn in the next 20, 30 years that's beyond our imagination. And he said, for instance, we recently injected some puppies who had a disease which caused blindness. And these puppies were in their kennel and they were running around bumping into the walls in this room. And we injected them with the DNA to correct their DNA code. And within a few weeks, they could see. They weren't bumping in the walls anymore. And Ken Miedema was there. And Michael Gillen turned and looked at Ken. And he said, Ken, do you want to see? And Ken said, I don't know. He goes, I don't know. I hear so well, and he's so used to living this life this whole way. He goes, I don't know. He'll sit here and listen to my message on a Sunday morning, and then afterwards he'll write a song, compose it during my message, and recite this song in music that summarizes the whole thing better than I could myself. And he hears with his heart and his ears. And the question is, do I really want to get better? Today we have to ask ourselves the same question. Do you want to be well? And that's what the 12th step is all about. Giving people the opportunity who want to get well, sharing with them the steps that they can take to receive wholeness and health. Let me share with you the scripture passage which pulls this whole thing together. And there's a term in here what I'm going to read which refers to Gentiles. And the literal translation of a Gentile is someone who isn't a Jew. But I think it's better for us to understand in this text a Gentile as someone who doesn't understand and practice the 12 steps, the spiritual steps of the reality of God's goodness and grace. And so as I read, think of it in this terms. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in their futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluding from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with the neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. It's what it's all about. Putting on the new you. Accepting the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And living in His fullness. We're going to conclude this by reading together the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. With that, let me give you a closing benediction. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you the strength and the power and the understanding to realize that you were created to be like Him. And that as you look into His face and receive His grace, you will truly live a glorious life. Amen.
Wat een indrukwekkend verhaal over dat 12-stappenplan en hoeveel miljoenen mensen over de hele wereld zijn en worden daar door dat 12-stappenplan niet geholpen. Gebaseerd op Bijbelse principes. En ik hoop dat je er wat mee kunt in je leven. En dat je van deze uitzending hebt genoten. Ik vond het prachtig om Daniel Rodriguez hier te ontvangen. Man met een geweldige stem. En de muziek was ook weer fantastisch in de Crystal Cathedral. Als je wilt kun je het nakijken op onze website. www.hourofpower.nl en kijk even onder video kerkdienst. Dominee Schulle komt naar ons land. Je hebt het al gehoord en gezien in dit programma. En dat is op 28 en 29 april. Nou, dat gaat ook weer zo'n belevenis worden. Ik vind het zo leuk dat we als Hour of Power zoveel organiseren. We zijn in beweging en dat doen we graag. En dat doen we ook omdat u als kijker zo enthousiast reageert steeds. Nou, dan is het ook leuk om het te doen. Graag tot volgende week en bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Leave it all behind. I'm not giving up this time.